You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Out of the Closet. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. I don't normally read out of this translation, but I'm going to read you out of the King James Version. Here in this passage, Jesus is talking about when you give alms, when you pray, when you fast. It's not an if scenario, it's a when. So he assumed we would do these things under the prayer when he says, verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." So you'll see here in a minute that there is a reward that goes with it. And if you're one of these people, and I grew up around these people where some guy'd get up and, "Dear God," you know, and how you make God a three-syllable word, it takes a lot of skill, but they could do it. "Off, Father," you know. You know, you think, well, if you're talking to your wife that way, I'm cool with it, but could you bring me some tea, you know. So like, what is this crazy talk, you know? But they get up and pray these, give speech prayers, you know, just talking to whoever. So if you're into that, when you're done with the prayer, the people that heard you and were impressed, that is your reward. That's what Jesus said. You give all, you know, go off on this prayer thing. Once they've heard you, they go, wow, then the wow is your reward. But there's a flip side to it. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut, I can't even read this stuff. Because who talks this way, right? "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Okay? Now here's what I'm talking about today. Out of the closet. Unfortunately, and this is not going to be the message today, this whole idea of coming out of the closet, for some reason, homosexuals have perfected this. And that's where they finally just say, it's who I am. I have hidden this lifestyle. I've hidden this behavior. I've hidden these feelings. I've hidden these passions. I've hidden these propensities for too long. I am done. I am coming out of the closet, and I don't care what it costs me, who says what, I'm out, right? And we think, well, that's, you know, oh my gosh, if they just stayed in, it'd been better for everybody. We don't want them, you know, out here doing their thing. How many Christians are still in the closet? And you somehow have managed to hide your faith, to stuff it someplace where no one will see it. And deep down inside, you actually do have some love for God, love from God. And you're so terrified that if you came out and really said what it is you believed and were completely yourself, that you'd be rejected. You know what? You probably would be, but that's okay. And sadly enough, the homosexual community is more willing to be themselves than the Christian community is to be themselves. And we are terrified that we're going to be made to look stupid, or we're going to be silly, we're going to be made fun of. At some point you go, I don't care anymore, I'm going to come out. Now, I'm not advocating, I'm not condoning that lifestyle, but you know what? Homosexuality is only one of the issues in the world. All right, let's start with one of these. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Just for a little background here, it says it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, these governor ruler types, to be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. So Darius is one of the three in command over the whole place. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to set him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Now let me tell you something. You live a godly life, you're going to get shot at. You've got to get a brain. You've got to realize if you live a holy, godly life, and you don't have to be all pious and self-righteous, if you just do it completely right and walk into your business, walk into any situation, there will be people who love you. There will be people who want to take you out. They do not like that you are who you are. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." The only Achilles heel on Daniel that we can find, the only way to entrap him is in his relationship to God, because he won't back down. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to the king, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of this kingdom, the administrators and the satraps, the counselors, advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions." Now, you say, well, what's the big deal? All you got to do is not pray for 30 days. Daniel's not doing that. So the law comes out and Daniel goes, oh, I see what they're doing. They're trying to entrap me and for 30 days. Why didn't they say a year? So for 30 days, you can't make any petitions to any other god. And they think that they'll catch Daniel. Why? Because Daniel can't go more than 30 days without praying. He's not going to go one day without praying. "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree." He got tricked. "Now when Daniel knew," now look at this, "now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," he waited till he knew the writing had been signed. "He went home and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as was his custom since early days." I'm not gonna quit. Now, if you know the story of Daniel and the lion's den, they turn him in. The king is really upset. He realizes he's been trapped. He has to throw Daniel in the lion's den. Go down to verse 16. "So the king gave the command and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke saying to Daniel, 'Your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you.' Then a stone was brought, laid on the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring and the signets of his lords. Then the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace, spent that night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. And also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the lion's den. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke saying to Daniel, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions?' Then Daniel said to the king, 'O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you.'" Now, you've got to see the connection. You don't get delivered from lions unless you've done your time in the closet. You are not going to find anything major that happens in Scripture or that God is at work in if you are not willing in the secret place to do the work. Then in the public place, you're not going to see the power. So if you're wondering why you see miraculous things happen to other people and it doesn't happen to you, you might consider crawling back in a closet or finding one in the first place and start talking to God, because he listens and knows what is said in secret, and then he rewards you how? Openly. Let's read another one. Mark chapter 1. And by the way, you go back and read the rest of Daniel, all the guys who had had him entrapped were thrown in with their wives, children, thrown in the lion's den. And it says before they even hit the ground, the lions were tearing their bones apart. That was the king's doing, because he realized what they had tried to do to Daniel. And so what they intended for Daniel became their fate. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Now, if you're one of these people that goes, okay, I'm supposed to read my Bible every day. I'm going to read so many verses. And you're opening your Bible and read it. Okay, I read it. You put it, boom, you're out. That's not what I'm talking about. Because if you don't meditate on this, you don't look at it, think about it, you're going to miss this stuff. Verse 35, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place." Now, who is he talking about here? Jesus. "And there he prayed." So you find Jesus. I'm going to read you some more. Jesus himself way before the sun comes up, off in a solitary place. What do you think he's doing? He is recharging. He is preparing for the day because of what's about to happen or not happen if he doesn't. Now, if God himself and a man has to do this, how in the world do we think we're going to experience the power of God in our lives apart from this? Now, by the way, a lot of my sermons are evangelistic in nature, and some of them are appealing to young believers. Now I'm after you older bunch who you say, well, they never talk to me. I mean, I'm out here trying to do the right thing. You got to ramp it up. Great, you walking with God. Great, you're talking with God. You got to get in the closet before you can come out of the closet. And if you are doing what you're supposed to be doing in the closet, when you come out of the closet, you're going to see the world changed. Now, the discouraging thing is that there are people, and I'm looking at some right now as I scan this room at least, who've spent years in that closet. And the thing you are imploring God to do with your child, with your husband, with your wife, with your mom, your dad, with your situation, your health, nothing seems to happen. I'm going to encourage you to stay in your closet. There is nowhere else to go. You have got to be persistent. You have got to wear God out. You say, but he's not doing anything. Stay after him. Whenever I sit down with someone and share the gospel and I see that person come to faith in Christ and their whole life change, one of the first things I ask them is, can you think of anyone who has been praying for you? And they will usually say, yeah, I think it was my grandmother. I think it was my mom or my brother or my, you know, somebody. Someone has to be throwing logs in the furnace to get steam. The work has to be done someplace. So again, Jesus goes way before the sun comes up and he prays, right? Look at the next few verses. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. They can't even find him. He's out in such a solitary place. You say, well, I thought it said a closet or a room like that. You know what? If you don't have a roof over your head, you find a spot. And for some people, it might be under a bridge someplace. Simon, those who were with them searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. But he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. And then he goes specifically here, now a leper came to him. Let me tell you something. You better not be jacking with demons unless you've been in your closet. You're an idiot. You get in a situation and there's demonic activity. You say, well, I've never seen that. You may be around it and not even know it. You don't just go jumping in there and saying, well, in Jesus' name that. They run people out of town throwing that name around. Some of it doesn't come out, but by prayer and fasting. And Jesus did that too. So you got to be careful. You got to be wise. You've got to do the time. Now, you do the time in the closet. When you come out, the whole world's going to look different because you're going to have opportunities you didn't even know were going on. Go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Look at this again, this little phrase. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And look at this next little phrase. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. How do you think the power of the Lord was present to heal them? Now you say, well, why in the world is Jesus talking to himself? He's God. What is he doing? The way this thing is set up is that Jesus would speak to the Father and he only did what he saw the Father do, what he was told to do. He demonstrated a life of obedience. And the book says he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. So we're probably not going to learn it any other way but through suffering, because that's how we learn obedience. And you're going to have to go to the Father. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. You know the story here, maybe? They cut a hole in the roof, lower him down, boom, the guy's healed. You cannot heal someone, you cannot raise the dead unless you've got the power of God. You say, well, I never see things like this happen. Climb in your closet and spend some time with him. You'd be amazed what would start happening. Now, let me tell you some of my expectations. Before I get up here to do this and deliver a message, I do a little praying, because I am not getting up here by myself. And if you ever come in this place and hear anyone speak and you know for a fact, even if you're not a believer, you go, there is something going on in there. and you sense the presence and the power of Almighty God, it is because someone has prayed. You don't just show up. Someone has to have prayed. And my only explanation for the existence and survival of this little church is that somebody has prayed. There is no other way it could happen. Now, I still know who's in the room. And you say, but I'm getting discouraged. I am praying. And I know there's a chance that God is not going to change my situation. Then he is going to change you. And he may have used your situation to get you in that closet so that you could intercede on behalf of something else, someone else. And you say, well, I don't want to do that work. Then what exactly are you going to do? Live a powerless life where you are defeated all the time? And everyone around you is defeated all the time, and no one ever wins, and that's what the book says we are, winners, more than conquerors. We even sing about it. I am tired of singing about it. I want to experience it. Matthew 14, verse 1. The first part of this chapter, John the Baptist, some chick dances at a party, and he's beheaded, so that didn't go good for him. Won't read that story, but verse 13. Now look at this. Jesus has just heard that his cousin, John the Baptist, has been beheaded. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. He gets himself in a boat and gets away. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them here to me." When Jesus tells you to bring something to him, you better take it to him. And by the way, that's what's going on a lot of times in our lives. "Well, this is mine." And Jesus says, "Well, how's that working out for you being yours? I've asked you repeatedly to give it to me. And if you will give it to me, I can do something with that thing you're not going to let go of and multiply it. It works with money. Oh, I'm going to hold my money. It's my money, my money." And God says, "Give it to me, and I'll take your little what you thought was nothing and blow this sucker up. Bring it to me." Then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves, the 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave the multitude, and they feed thousands of people. Verse 23, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there." You're going to have to find some place to be alone. Jesus did it. You got to do it. People say that prayer prepares you for the battle. Prayer is the battle. And sometimes what you need to do the day, to do the deal, to go where you're supposed to go, say what you're supposed to say, you get in that closet and the RPMs are so, you're racing in that room with God by himself. He hears your heart. And that verse in Matthew says, "And your Father who what? Sees in secret." You say, "Well, nobody knows I'm in here praying." Yeah, they do. Because if you're a believer, the Spirit of God lives in you and ever lives to make intercession for us. So you've got a machine going inside of you. And when you spend that time, when you come out, then God says, "Now watch this. I told you I'd show up. I'm showing up." And then you walk into your office. You say, "Well, how does this manifest? How does this work?" You walk into your office. And because you have done time with God, spent time in the secret place, then you come out of the closet and God backs you up and the Holy Spirit says, "Ask that person to lunch and pray for him." And you get at lunch, you say, "This may be the craziest thing you've ever heard, but this morning early prayed for you. And I'm asking if you would be okay if I pray for you now." And then you intercede and that person hears it. Let me tell you something, that will knock people down. You don't do it randomly. But you stop living a random life if you spend time with God. I grew up with crazy people who I really don't think spent any time with God. They just whacked everything they saw and ran people completely off because there was no sensitivity. They were angry people. But when you come in the power of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit and gently approach someone, I'm telling you, they are going to be receptive because people are hurting. And they can't figure out how you knew that they were hurting and why you would even care. Because nobody cares about anybody anymore. It's me, me, me. So all that goes down. He departed from a boat, deserted place to pray. Again down there in verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves. You want to walk on water? You better go climb in a closet someplace. If you track Jesus, he's not just throwing down miracles out there without paying the price. He is praying, getting ready, preparing, connecting with the Father so that he goes back out there and does what he needs to do. You say, well, I don't see any of this stuff happening in my life. Climb in a closet. Now, if you are really spending time in the closet with God, you are going to come out of the closet and everybody's going to know it. I meet people and I can tell you just like that, they have spent time with God. It's not guesswork. It's not judging. There is something about a person who has paid the price in the closet. You know they've been with Jesus. And that's what they said, by the way, about the disciples, that they had been with Jesus. One more, Matthew 26. Matthew 26, 36. Jesus has just done the Lord's Supper, Passover with his disciples. Judas is out of there, out betraying him, sits down to the Jesus and the 11. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. I am so overwhelmed, I could die right here. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. That's a secret place. By himself, he takes the 11, he leaves the 8, he takes the 3, he leaves them, and he keeps going. He had a place, he had a time, and here's the point of this. You don't make it to the cross without the garden. You say, well, I keep reading the Bible says, if any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself daily, take up his cross, and follow me. You will never make it to your cross if you're not spending time with him in the secret place. Because you will never know the value of it. You'll say, well, it's too hard. It's too painful. If you ever make it in the secret place, and then you say, Lord, okay, I'm out here. I'm out here out of this closet trying to live. I'm trying to deny myself. I'm trying to take up my cross daily and follow you. That means death to me, but life, the way I really need it. If you don't make it there, you never experience. What is beyond the death on the cross? Resurrection. The life you are so desperately trying to find in every other thing you're looking for will never happen until there's a death. So you say, well, I'm trying to get there. Start in a closet someplace. Start in a secret place and say, Lord, search me, try me. See if there's any wicked way in me.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Now, let me tell you something else about the secret place. Most people here and listening beyond here already have a secret place. It's just that you're not praying in that secret place. Most people I talk to have a secret place. And the reason they have a secret place is they're doing secret things in the secret place that have nothing to do with God. They got a stash. They got whatever fuels their sin. And you usually find people alone in the dark in the secret place. I'm just recommending you change your secret place into a holy secret place and make him your new stash. You want to get high on something? Get high with Jesus in the secret place. You want to change the world? It starts in a closet. And when you come out of that closet, the world has to change because he said, I will reward you openly. So then you start going, okay, so what we got today, God? What's going to happen? I did what you said to do. I've done the work. I've prayed. I expect something to happen. When I come out here and speak, I expect something to happen. And when you start living that way, you don't have time for the secret crap anymore. You're like, God, that's wasting my time. I want to spend time with you and see my life and the world change. Show up, God. Now, you'll get shot at. Somebody's not going to like you. They may try to throw you to some lions. That's okay. If you die, you're home. If you don't, they die. Not that we're wishing that on anybody, but, you know, should have thought about who you're messing with.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.